talk about perceptions of Christmas that people have. Before we look into that, Luke chapter 2, starting in verse 8, it says, "That night there were shepherds standing in the fields nearby, guarding their flocks of sheep. Suddenly an angel of the Lord appeared among them, and the radiance of the Lord's glory surrounded them. They were terrified, but the angel reassured them. 'Don't be afraid,' he said. 'I bring you good news that will bring great joy to all people. The Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born today in Bethlehem, the city of David. And you will recognize him by this sign. You will find a baby wrapped, snuggled in strips of cloth, lying in a manger.' Suddenly, the angel was joined by a vast host of others, the armies of heaven, praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in highest heaven, and peace on earth to those with whom God is pleased.' When the angels had returned to heaven, the shepherds said to each other, 'Let's go to Bethlehem. Let's see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about.' They hurried to the village and found Mary and Joseph. And there was the baby lying in the manger. After seeing him, the shepherds told everyone what had happened and what the angel had said to them about this child. All who heard the shepherd's story were astonished. But Mary kept all these things in her heart and thought about them often. The shepherds went back to their flocks, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen. It was just as the angel had told them." Have you ever noticed that two people can go through the same event and yet they can have a completely different experience? It's like two people can look at the same picture but have a completely different perspective. For example, look at this man's face in this picture. Now, how many of you see him looking straight at you? And how many of you see him with his profile of his face? As I said, two people can see the same picture, but have a completely different perspective. Well, it's the same with Christmas. Different people experience this season in different ways. Different people might go to the mall and say, "Hey, listen, I can hear them singing Christmas carols over the speakers. Isn't that great?" Others might go into a store and say, "You know, that clerk said Merry Christmas to me instead of Happy Holidays. This means war." Some people might see or hear the ringing of the bell outside the store and say, "Isn't it great that we have the opportunity to help people in this simple, small way?" Others might say, "Those bells really get on my nerves. You know, why does everyone in the world at Christmas have their hand out?" When people look at Christmas, they see it from different perspectives. And as we read the Christmas story, we see that each character had their own perspective on the Christmas story, the Christmas event as well. For instance, the angels experienced Christmas with great joy. The angels understood this event as something that was really special, something that was really incredible, something that would change the course of human history. While some shepherds were watching their flocks in the fields that night outside the little town of Bethlehem, the angel approached them and stood before them. And of course, they were terrified at first. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all people." And then we know that he told them about the Messiah and where to find him. And I especially love the part of the story where it says that suddenly a great company of heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." I don't know about you, but I don't think there's enough joy in the world today. It seems like there's too much hatred and sadness. And that's why Christmas is so great, because it brings us a great reason for joy. The angels experienced Christmas with great joy because they knew what Christmas really meant. It meant that God hadn't given up on the human race, and that he never will. It meant that he cared enough to send his only son into the world so that through him we might have eternal life. You know, when we get stressed out at Christmas because we've got too much to do, or we have to travel too far, or because we haven't got enough money to do all the things that we want to do, or because there's a certain family member who won't be joining us this year, or because there is a certain family member that will be joining us this year, or because there's just not enough time, we can stop for a minute and just remind ourselves to experience Christmas like the angels experienced it, with joy and celebration and praising God. The angels experienced Christmas with great joy. Next, I want you to see that Mary experienced Christmas with a sense of wonder. After these shepherds had come to the manger, and then after they had left to tell others about it, Luke says that Mary treasured all these things and pondered them in her heart. Now, the events that were leading up to Christmas they had really been a whirlwind of activity for Mary. You know, you think of the angel and his revelation to her about what was going to happen, her visit to her cousin Elizabeth, breaking the news to her family and her fiancé Joseph, the journey all the way to Bethlehem, being fully pregnant, no room in the inn, taking shelter in a barn, and of course, the miracle of birth. And then out of nowhere, a group of these shepherds show up and tell her about seeing an angel and hearing a choir singing from heaven. Mary took a moment to think about what all this meant. I'm sure it wasn't the only time in her life that she did this, that she sat alone and pondered in her heart all that God had done for her and all that he had called her to do. And I encourage you to follow Mary's example. In the midst of the hustle and bustle of the season, slip away for a few minutes, as much as you have time to, and think about Jesus, what he means to you, what you mean to him, and become more aware of him. Think about how he demonstrated the love and mercy of God, how he taught us to live and to pray, how he died on the cross for our sins, and how he rose again. Christmas means that God loves you and he saves you, and that he wants to bless you, and he wants to use you to be a blessing to others as well. So experience Christmas like Mary did, with a sense of wonder. Next, we see that the Magi experienced Christmas as a journey. Years before the birth of Jesus, a group of Eastern philosophers began to study a great star that appeared in the sky. They believed that it had something to do with the fulfillment of ancient prophecies and the coming of a great king. And everyone who looked up to the sky could see that star. But these men did what no one else did. They packed their bags and they went looking for it. Now, how long they traveled, we don't know, but we know that they came from Persia. And so the journey was at least several months, maybe longer. But they traveled and they kept seeking Jesus. Some scholars believe that these kings traveled with their wives as well, because when they got to Jerusalem, they stopped and asked for directions. And that's when they found Jesus. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary. And they bowed down and worshiped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, of incense, and of myrrh. The Christian life is a journey spent seeking Christ, getting to know God more intimately. This Christmas season, we should give thought to our own journey and ask ourselves, what am I really seeking? What am I hoping to find underneath the star? Am I hoping to find a pot of gold or happiness or greatness? Or am I hoping to find Jesus? To know God personally by believing in Jesus is the greatest treasure that any of us can ever find. Unfortunately, not everyone's perception of Christmas is a positive one. Herod experienced Christmas as a threat. The Magi came to him asking, where's the one who was born king of the Jews? Herod didn't like the implications of their question. He saw the birth of this king as a threat. He was not the kind of man who would surrender his throne without a fight. Neither would he bow his knee to another. He was the king, and he refused to yield. His response to the Magi's visit was horrific and violent. He ordered his soldiers to kill every child under 2 years of age in Bethlehem. But was it right for Herod to perceive Jesus as a threat? It wasn't, not politically. Jesus wasn't after Herod's throne. He was after his heart, just as he pursues the heart of every person who's ever lived. Some people, they might see Christmas as a threat, especially the spiritual aspect of Christmas, because they know what it means. Jesus isn't just a little baby born in a manger. He's Savior, Christ, and Lord. So he must be taken seriously. In fact, everything he said must be taken seriously. He challenged his followers then. And he challenges us today. He challenges us to be generous to the poor, to forgive our enemies, to serve one another in love, and to put God first above all other things. Sometimes we see the Lordship of Christ as a threat, because we want to live for ourselves. We want to say, I want to do what I want to do when I want to do it, and this is my life, and I'm calling my own shots. We have to ask ourselves, who will be the Lord of my life today? Some days we're like Herod. Some days we're like the Magi. But the journey of seeking Christ should always lead us to a place of surrendering our hearts to his Lordship. It's something that we have to do every day. Jesus said that we're to take up our cross daily, that we must decide who will be the Lord of my life today. This Christmas, why not choose Jesus? There's one more thing that I want you to see, going back to the shepherds who are watching their flocks. The shepherds experienced Christmas personally. When the angels had left them and gone back into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." And so they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. But like the Magi, their attitude was, hey, this is something that we need to see for ourselves. Let's find him. When they found him, did they give him expensive gifts like the Magi did? No, they were poor shepherds. They had nothing to give. But listen to what they did. After seeing him, the shepherds told everyone what had happened and what the angel had said to them about this child. And the shepherds went back to their flocks, glorifying and praising God for all that they had heard and seen. These poor shepherds had nothing to give, no gifts to share. They could only share their experience. They could only share the story. They could only share their joy and their amazement. And in doing so, they spread it to others. The greatest gift that you can receive at Christmas is the presence of Christ in your own life. And the greatest gift that you can give is the message of Christ. So let me ask you, how will you experience Christmas this year? My prayer is that you'll experience it with joy, like the angels. And like Mary, you'll take time to contemplate the wonder of it all that God has done for you and through you. Like the Magi, I pray that you'll experience Christmas as a journey, and that you'll come to him in worship and offer him the gift of your heart. My prayer is that, unlike Herod, that you experience Christmas by surrendering to the Lordship of Christ and give him the rightful place on the throne of your heart. My prayer that, like the shepherds, you'll experience Christ personally, that you'll be filled with joy and amazement and wonder, and that you'll share his joy with others. My hope is that your perception of Christmas will be more that's more than just a holiday, that you'll experience it as a life-changing event. I'm going to invite the worship team to come back, and we're going to join together in singing Silent Night. I'm going to invite the ushers to come as well.